All right. Welcome, ladies and gentlemen, to Are You Not Kentertained? I'm your host, Kent. This is episode number 7. Today's date is October 20th. And, well, I just got this new mic, and my buddy Tom's over here, and I was like, hey, you want to do a podcast? And he was like, looking at me like I'm a fucking idiot. And
I was.
Well, yeah, I am a fucking idiot. But we're here today to just talk a little bit about horror. Tom's not, horror is really not his genre of choice, but he has seen some. So we're going to kind of focus on some of the good stuff that he's seen, get some little feedback, and we'll wrap it up. It's going to be a quick podcast for the day. So, Tom, how about you tell everybody what your favorite movie in the world is?
Well, really, it's one of my favorites among any genre, but definitely has to be the movie Jaws.
And what about Jaws? I mean, you know, it's your favorite movie, so what is it? Is it the acting, the suspense? I assume it's got to be a multitude of things, so what really got you going or hooked on it?
Well, first of all, I tend to like movies that are somewhat possible, like the killer animal, but it's not an animal beyond the realm of what could be seen in nature.
So you don't like Sharknado?
To be honest, I have not seen any of the Sharknados, but I have seen some of the cast, and I'm not really all that interested.
You are not missing out on jack shit. Ron actually just saw it for the first time, like, last month. He saw the first one, and there's 4 of them, and he was messaging me during it. He's like, what the shit is this? So, yeah, Ian Ziering and Tara Reid, and then David Hasselhoff in part 3 and 4. It's a fucking mess. Anyways, back with Jaws. You're right. You have this realistic attack of sorts. You have 3 great characters.
Well, it was based on a real event that happened, I think, in New Jersey back in the early 1900s.
Back in the... Really? I had no idea, actually. So, was this just a document thing, and Spielberg kind of took the reins and was like, hey, let's make a really cool, badass movie?
Actually, it was... Spielberg took the story from a book by Peter Benchley, and he took... The author took the story from the events that happened back in New Jersey, where it was a rogue shark. I think it killed in the single digits, but it kept attacking people on the popular beaches around there. So it's not exactly like the story, but that's where he took some of his inspiration.
Huh. Wow. That's something I didn't know. So this is why we're doing the fucking podcast, so Kent can get a little Kenchcated, if you will. Now, there's the well-documented discourse, the rivalry there on set there between two of the leads. You and I was just talking about this a couple days ago. Do you know the full story behind it, like what led to it, all that fun stuff?
Dreyfuss and Shaw did not like each other. When you get down to the nitty-gritty, I guess it wasn't very nice on set working with Robert Shaw for Dreyfuss. I think he made some anti-Semitic remarks to him, and it kind of started off from there, and they razzed each other from then on out.
So, yeah, so Shaw was kind of the instigator, if you will.
He really was, and I hate saying it because he is by far my favorite actor in that movie. But it's I actually saw recently an interview with Dreyfuss where he got very emotional talking about Robert Shaw, and he actually spoke very highly of him, even though they didn't get along in person. He's speaking on how he was a larger than life character, and that is what led to a lot of them butting heads on set.
Now, so we've got Robert Shaw, we got Richard Dreyfuss. Who's the third big name?
Schreider.
Roy Schneider, right?
Yeah, that sounds right.
So, yeah, God damn, that movie, last year I watched it three times during October, which was just absurd, but I had it on as background when I was actually editing blogs because I had just a really good time, really enjoyed the music. Now, in your mind, what do you think is scarier, the music, the not knowing, or the shark?
I think it's human nature to be a little scared of the unknown, and the way water has an ability to conceal something even as big, you know, a huge animal could be right up on you and you don't even know if it's underneath the water, and that's kind of where the fear comes from. But, the music was definitely, as simple as it was really something, and it's still one of the most recognizable things out there. Anybody, even if they haven't seen the movie, will recognize those two tones.
Yeah, it's iconic. Was that John Williams that did it?
Yeah, I believe it was. And if I remember the story correctly, I think the director, Spielberg, actually thought he was joking when he first came and played it to him. Just two fingers on a piano. And like without the orchestra, you don't realize how it can build and, you know, kind of lead in and, you know, represents the presence of the shark, just trying to show it to him. But I mean, Williams had that gift to.
Yeah, he's one. I don't know. He's probably considered by many to be the best as far as film music goes. Hell, if you just stop at Star Wars and fucking Jaws. That's a tough thing to beat. Like, I don't know. I think there's a couple other big names, but, you know, I'm going to take John Williams over damn near everybody, if not entirely everybody.
I don't think there's anybody out there that can compete. I mean, I remember learning over and over again, oh, he's responsible for that movie as well, and the music from that movie. It's if you really look into it, I think his career was really something.
He did Indiana Jones too, right? The theme from that. I'm pretty sure he did.
I'm not sure, but I at this point I would not be surprised.
God damn, he was a fucking genius. So did you ever talk with your parents about Jaws and like what it came out like in the summer, like people were afraid to go to the fucking beach and stuff. Have you ever like had that conversation with people that lived through that?
Not really. I know my mother actually worked for a movie theater when it came out, and I believe my dad went to that theater to see it while she was working there. I think they were dating at the time, but I really haven't really talked to anybody to actually, I don't know, I think it was just a movie to them. My parents really aren't movie people, so.
Right, yeah. I mean, from what I've read, because we're both, you know, younger than, you know, it came out before we were born, but yeah, I've heard so many stories, and you know, then idiots have the fucking gall to compare that to Blair Witch. Get the fuck out of here with this shit. Like, how many people were really afraid to go camping after Blair Witch? Now, granted, I will tell you, there were some dumb bitches, I think it was the second time I saw Blair Witch in the theater, that were in tears coming out of the theater. Like, they were so frightened, and it was fantastic. It made my evening. But I mean, really, how many people really stopped going camping after Blair Witch? You're an outdoorsman.
None. It's, I don't know. I can separate. I've always, like, it, when I'm in the woods, that's not even crossing my mind what I saw in the theater in the woods.
Tom, are you implying that you aren't afraid of no ghost?
yeah, I guess I am implying that.
Fair enough. All right, so we'll move off from Jaws because, shit, man, we just did 10 minutes of that. Told you this shit goes by fast.
Yeah, it really does go by faster. But before we move off the topic, those three actors, We've kind of touched on every other aspect, but they really made the movie for me.
Yeah, Well, Shaw was Quint. I can't remember names of the characters now. Well,
Chief Brody, played by Roy Schrader. How do you say his last name again?
Schneider.
Roy Schneider.
Yes.
And then Dreyfuss played Hooper.
And then there was... What the fuck's the guy that Ron always... That screen
name? Oh, the mayor of Amity, Vaughn.
Vaughn. Larry Vaughn, right?
Yeah. It wasn't such a big part, but it's...
It's he's hilarious. A yeah. I tell you, every once in a while, like, I get bored and, you know, I look up certain videos on YouTube. The Independence Day speech, obviously, is one of them. But I'll tell you, this year, probably the second or third most played is the show me the way to go home scene.
Oh, the scene where he talks about his experience on the USS Indianapolis, I just get captivated in that whole scene. Like, it's not like I'm even watching the movie anymore. I'm just listening to his words, imagining the scene that he's laying out. It's probably my favorite scene in any movie ever.
You know, it's interesting because I was on a message board earlier today. I think it was for The Legend of Hell House. And that was made in 1973. Jaws was 77, 78, you know, by any chance?
Early 70s. That's like,
oh, early. Okay, so.
That might not even be accurate. I don't know. It was after
it's in the 70s. Duel. God damn. Well, the point is that, you know, a lot of The Legend of Hell House had to with some of your imagination. And somebody pointed out the Indianapolis, the speech. And they're like, if they remade Jaws, say, they would probably fucking show the whole thing instead of, like, just letting the guy...
There's no way that they could recreate that movie. It would be just it'd be a different movie, probably just a summer blockbuster about a killer shark, but it wouldn't go down... Wouldn't go down like that at all.
You can't recreate certain things, which, you know, you and I have often talked about every time we see a fucking remake, and we're like, yeah, that sucks. I mean, hell, horror is notorious for this. We have had so many remakes. We've had remakes of the classics. We've had Psycho. We've had The Haunting, House on Haunted Hill, Nightmare on Elm Street, Friday the 13th, Halloween, Texas Chainsaw Massacre. I think we're getting a new Leprechaun and a new Child's Play. They remade Cabin Fever, which is only 15 years old. That's how pathetic shit is getting with the remakes. And yet, they haven't touched Jaws, which I'm actually kind of surprised that somebody desperate looking for that big buck to, like, get back in the spotlight hasn't done it.
They've made plenty of shark films. Mentioned Sharknado. But even...
There's also Avalanche Sharks on Netflix, and I tried watching it 5 minutes. Couldn't do it.
They just came out with another one, though. I think it was called The Shallows. And it looks...
Oh, yeah,
looks,
you're right.
Decent, but it's... It's no Jaws.
Jaws is probably... Like, if you think about every horror movie that's ever had an animal as the main antagonist, Jaws is number one. I can't possibly think of any other horror movie where... They've done better. It just doesn't exist in my mind.
No. And they didn't have back then, you know, movies these days, they can CGI anything in. So no matter what the creature is in the movie, they can CGI the hell out of it and make it whatever they want. But back then, it was more about making you fear something that they couldn't actually show you. So it was fearing what you couldn't see.
Actually, I remember, I think this was last year, I think you were telling me something about... Now you might know a little more than I do about this. Something about how far out they went when they were filming it. Do you recall that conversation? You were telling me stuff about how far away they were offshore.
Yeah, they wanted to be far enough away that they didn't have to restrict their shots to only being out into the ocean. And that's actually why they picked the area off of Martha's Vineyard, because there's a large area of sea there that's all fairly shallow. So they could kind of plant the mechanical shark on the bottom and have it work at the depth that they were at.
That's awesome. All right. Trying to think. I mean, is there anything else you want to touch on in Jaws, or you want to move on to something else?
We can move on to something else.
Okay. What else have you seen? I mean, have you ever seen, like, Amityville Horror?
I've seen the remake, and I've seen pieces of the original. Actually, I think it was on cable, like, 2 or 3 days ago.
Probably on AMC. AMC and Pop TV both have been doing a lot of horror movies, so wouldn't be surprised. The original is really good. The remake, I couldn't get into the remake. It wasn't bad, just something I couldn't get into.
The facial hair in the 70s, I mean, just seeing that kind of took me out of watching it.
Well, that's the problem. Like, when I watch these movies that are supposed to be set in the 70s, they try so hard, and yet you never get that full vibe of the 70s. It's tough to recreate the vibe of the 70s. When they tried Texas Chainsaw Massacre, they really, that was one of the closest, I thought, effort-wise, which I'm guessing you probably, have you ever seen either Texas Chainsaw Massacre?
No. Like, a lot of my experience in horror, it was, you know, while I was growing up, and I might have caught pieces here and there when stuff was shown on cable, but I don't think the original Chainsaw Massacre is shown much on cable.
No, it really isn't. Now, before we started the podcast, you did mention Nightmare on Elm Street, which, I mean, I have the Freddy figurines up there, and hell, there's the Nightmare on Elm Street Blu-ray sitting right in front of the TV, because I have a hard-on for all things Nightmare on Elm Street. So, you've seen the original. Did you see any other ones, and do you have any memories from it, or is it just distant memory for you?
I can't even tell you which ones I've seen and which ones I haven't. In my childhood, all the Freddy movies just blurred together. I mean, I never watched them in order, so I'm not even sure which ones I've seen.
Fair enough. I can totally understand somebody like me who's watched each one probably 15, 20 times, which is ridiculous, but I've done so. So, I mean, obviously I know, but I mean, if you've only seen them once or twice or whatever, of course, it's like, hey, I saw the one that Freddy killed somebody in. Oh, great. That's helpful, yeah. You recommended, this is before we were even really close friends, you'd recommended on Facebook The Changeling starring George C. Scott, right?
Yeah. He kind of looks like, I always thought he looked like Johnny Cash, like a little heavier set Johnny Cash.
Yeah, I could see that.
Yeah, I saw The Changeling as a kid and thoroughly enjoyed it. And that's been, as far as horror goes, kind of my taste. To like a movie that's a little more on the creepy side instead of being more on the gory side.
So you strike me as a guy that would dig like a cool classical, like a haunted house type thing. More sort of than the gore shit that I'm much more inclined to show you for whatever reason, because I'm a sick fuck, I guess, but a good haunted house.
There was a couple, like, the 80s, a little more gory ones that, for whatever reason, I ended up seeing and liking. Like, I had a thing for the movies Critters.
Oh, Critters, yes, I recall Critters.
I don't really know what it was about them that I liked them as a kid. Whether these little fuzzy things, but they were loaded with teeth.
Do you remember? I can honestly picture the VHS box, the cover art for that. I don't know why.
It was just one stand in there, right?
Just one stand there. It was, yeah. It had the red outline.
Right. And there was another one. I don't know if it was Critters 2 or Critters 3, where it was the big ball of them.
Yes.
And
yes.
I remember the movie where they all balled up together and they're rolling down the hill. And I think as they rolled over people, there were just skeletons left, like, jittering on the ground.
That 80s was great. 80s was the horror decade. Now, I'm never going to sit there and tell you all the greatest ones came from the 80s, but the 80s was the greatest decade for horror because they had so many genres and they excelled. They did some cheesy shit. Didn't I show you Chopping Mall last year?
No, I don't think I saw that one.
Maybe I showed it to Ron. I mean, it's about a killer robot patrolling a mall, a shopping mall, and it's fantastic. It's so ridiculous, but that's the 80s, man. I mean, gave us all the good slashers. Halloween, Texas Chainsaw were the late 70s, but you know, the slasher genre really took off in the 80s. 90s it died. 90s was really the worst decade ever for horror, I think.
I also, you know, a little more on the sci-fi side, I liked movies like Predator, Aliens, and there's an old, similar to those, like, type movies, there's ones like Split Second, which is an obscure old one that I liked as a kid, or We Come in Peace.
We Come in Peace, actually, I feel like I've seen that before. It sounds so familiar. But, I mean, the Predator is one of my all-time favorites. It's like, it's such a fun, rewatchable movie. And I don't know if you'd count this as sci-fi. I don't know. The one with Piper and Keith David.
Oh, they're alive? Is that it? The one with the aliens, they see with the glasses.
Yeah.
Chewing bubblegum and
kicking ass.
Yeah, exactly.
Bubblegum. Yeah. That movie fucking cracks me up every time. Piper's so good in it.
Well, it's almost constant comic relief among the kind of suspenseful sci-fi horror type side of it.
Yeah, I agree. Now, we're talking sci-fi here. Alien is another good one. They're doing another Alien movie next year, I do believe. Sigourney Weaver's coming back. One that you didn't touch on was The Thing. Have you ever seen The Thing?
I have seen The Thing. I have not seen the remake, though.
Yeah, it's not even... It took place, you know, in the beginning how they talk about the Swedes and the Norwegians? It's their story. It's not a remake. It's their story about what happened before what we saw in the 80s thing, which was also a remake of, like, a 50s fucking movie.
You know what? I did run into the old version of The Thing on TV a while back, and I started watching it, I'm like, what is this? It seems interesting, and then The Thing. Oh my god, this is... No, but the 80s one is the one I watched as a kid, remember.
God damn it. Like, that one's just... That's my favorite movie to drink to. It is. I like drinking to a lot of movies, but The Thing and Gladiator, if I have two movies that I like to drink to, those are it. Kurt Russell's done a lot of great things, and that's my favorite role of his, which says a lot because I could probably name 20 roles of Kurt Russell's that I liked.
Yeah, he's had quite the career.
And Wilford Brimley in his Diabetes.
Diabetes.
And another Keith David sighting. Keith David, man. He's going to be missed when he dies because people take that man for granted. He is one of the greatest voices of all time.
You're going to have to clarify. I'm not sure who that is.
He's Childs. He's in Piper. And we were just talking about it.
Piper.
And They're Alive? Or?
Oh, okay. Yeah, okay.
The black dude.
Gotcha.
He has one of the greatest voices. I don't know, something about it. His voice was amazing in a movie called Requiem for a Dream, which I'm guessing you've probably never seen.
No, I think you brought up to me recently, and I confused it with another movie, but I have not seen that movie.
You're right. I don't know. He just has such a great voice. I'm trying to think, like, when you were a kid, was there any movie that scared you, gave you nightmares that you can recall?
Well, if you go back to when I was really young, and you're going to laugh at this, not a horror movie at all. Movie The Neverending Story.
Oh, no shit. Yeah. I could see that, though.
The wolf in that, called Mork, which I actually love that movie as well, but when I was a kid, I ended up having a fear of wolves when I was like 4 years old because of that. Who was behind that movie? Was it Jim Henson?
Oh, God. It seems like it's got to be Jim, but I really don't know, to be perfectly honest with you.
the way they made Mork talk, especially when he's talking to the boys Atreyu, is that his name?
Yes, it's Atreyu.
Yeah, so when the wolf is kind of sitting back in the cave, his eyes are glowing, and he's talking to the boy standing in front of him, and he's really covered in shadows, and all you really see are the eyes and the teeth as he's talking. That is a creepy scene, even watching it now as an adult, and it really scared me as a kid.
I can totally see that. I'll tell you, because my mom let me watch horror movies far too young, which is awesome, by the way. This is why I'm the way I am. Like, I remember my first three big horror movies was Amityville Horror, American Werewolf in London, and The Shining. And I used to have nightmares about the hedge garden maze. That thing used to fucking creep me out because I'd have dreams that I was in there getting chased by Jack.
I think that probably helped with the fact that he was chasing a child.
And, oh, absolutely.
You know, if you identify with the child and he's being chased by like a full-grown adult, which when you're a kid, adults seem like they're
giants.
Yeah, they're giants, they're all powerful, and now one wants to kill you, so that's pretty terrifying for a kid.
I'm sure I probably went into my parents' bedroom like, I just had a nightmare, Jack chasing me, and like they're just like, what? Like my dad, I don't think I ever saw it, and my mom probably was just like, oh, I should not have let him watch that. I'm sure that's what was going through her mind. But goddamn, The Shining? I mean, you've seen The Shining, right?
Oh, definitely, many times.
That has to go down as one of the all-time best done horror movies. And the funny thing is that the master of horror, Stephen King, hates it.
Well, to be honest, it's as many times as I've watched it, I've got to say it can be hard to watch because there's a lot of really long, drawn-out scenes in it, but that's also kind of the magic of it.
That's Stanley Kubrick, yeah. He's known for his... He's the single most meticulous director, I think, in history. And I'm trying to think of like other movies you've seen of his. Spartacus, I think he directed. Hmm. Have you ever seen Clockwork Orange?
Yes, Clockwork Orange.
Full Metal Jacket?
Yes, I've seen that.
2001 Space Odyssey?
I've seen that. Again, Space Odyssey, those like the scenes, they're just long, drawn out, slow moving. But that I feel like that lets, I guess you could say, the creepiness build when you have like the scene in The Shining where he's typing and you see him far away and you see him a little closer though, and you see what he's typing, or just even like the main scene you're talking about, because that seemed to drag on and on, but that's kind of what made it.
It builds, yeah. Like, and that's the thing modern horror don't get. Modern horror, they think, oh, just because we've drawn out the suspense because the girl's looking through the closet, because for some reason in every horror movie, if you hide in a closet, you have one of the vented, paneled one so you can see through it, which baffles me, but every horror movie has to have it. And that's what you have for suspense nowadays. It's like, guys, can you fucking create some atmosphere? Like, you know, they used to be able to build an atmosphere, and it's missing nowadays. A good atmosphere is key, right?
Right, and a lot of it, I think, comes because they rely too heavily on CGI and special effects that they have available to them now, so they don't have to be as creative on the other end of it.
Absolutely. People have gotten so self-reliant, or just reliant on fucking first-person perspective, found footage stuff, and they forget the roots. And you can't make progress without knowing your history. You're a history man. I think you would agree with that. You can't really make forward progress unless you know what came before
Absolutely.
You.
Absolutely. Something to build on.
Right. And that's where modern horror is failing a lot, especially stuff you see in the theater. The indie stuff, the low budget stuff, is actually the better stuff, oddly.
Yeah. I mean, there's a lot I've seen as a child. There are probably obscure movies that nobody's ever heard of except maybe you. But I have like these little flashes in my head of these old horror movies, and there's one where I don't even remember most of the storyline, but I know that there's a group of people and they're being hunted by a like a mutated bear. And
that's awesome.
I remember in the movie you don't see the bear in 99% of the movie, and when you do see it, it's just like a shaky flash where I think they've taken Hollywood Bear and then like shaved parts of it or something. This is back in my childhood. I have just little flashes of this movie, but so much of the movie is when they represent the bear, they're just looking through the bear's eyes, and there's a certain type of like shot, and then it's just a lumbering of the camera looking for the people. And I feel like I remember a scene where they're all hiding in a hole, and then one of them goes up to look, and of course it grabs them and pulls them up out. And but like you don't see the bear for at all. They represent it in other ways because they didn't have the CGI back then. And I kind of think that adds to it.
Yeah, that's art right there. I mean, even if it's shitty art, they're at least trying to do something. So that's appreciative. I was thinking another thing from my childhood. It's not really horror. Did you ever watch Swamp Thing?
I absolutely watched Swamp Thing. I think I used to play in the woods pretending I was Swamp Thing, because he's the hero in the movie.
Yeah, it has Adrian Barbeau in it.
The bad guy turns himself into some orange colored werewolf, right? Or some kind of beast.
It's some fucked
beast
up
creature.
Yeah. It's just interesting, like, because when Wes Craven died last year, I think it was last year, maybe it was the year before, geez. I think it was last year, though. I went through and I was checking out all this stuff, and I was like, oh, Swamp Thing, man. That just brought me back. Do you remember there was a Swamp Thing cartoon?
Absolutely. I remember I used to get it confused with a Toxic Avenger.
Oh, yeah, Toxie.
I think there was an animated thing on the Toxic Avenger, and then they did the animated Swamp Thing as well, and I feel like I'd get him confused. Was it a comic book almost, I think?
It could have been. God damn, like, so much of my childhood is just like, unless it's G.I. Joe or Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtles, there's a lot of shit that just kind of blends together for me. But, I remember little bits and pieces. I remember, like, thinking Swamp Thing kicks ass. I remember the song was actually awesome, too.
I actually don't recollect the song in it at all.
You know what? Now that I'm thinking about it, it may not have been the actual theme song to the show. It may have been like a commercial. So I think it was just basically Wild Thing, only replaced Wild with Swamp. And that was the basic gist of it, but it was awesome.
Swamp Thing.
Yep, there you go.
I guess I don't remember that still.
Oh, Christ.
Now you got all these movies buzzing around my head that were not... maybe not great movies, but they're movies I enjoyed as a child from that same era, like Beastmaster and...
Oh, man. Masters of the Universe?
Yeah, absolutely. Was it London?
Dolph Lundgren, Dolph Lundgren. Yeah. That guy's awesome.
But Beastmaster, there were parts of that that scared me. The bird people?
Oh, sure. I can get that. I can get behind a lot of things that wouldn't frighten you as a teenager, but as a child, there's some weird shit that I don't think grown-ups think about, but are frightening to a child.
I think maybe they do think about it. Maybe that's why they do it.
Yeah, I mean, granted, I would like to fuck with little kids and scare the hell out of them, but that's just me, I suppose. Now, you know, there's just a ton of different subgenres of horror. A big one's, especially in the 80s, I think, was vampires. Any vampire movies that you can think of? Like, were you ever into Lost Boys?
I was just about to say Lost Boys. That, I always loved that movie.
Was your favorite guy the half-naked saxophone player? Because that's my favorite guy.
To be honest, until you brought that up the other day, I had... I remember the scene when I watched it, but I guess he never stood out to me like he stood out to you.
Like, it's amazing to go back and watch it, and like, yeah, at the time when I was, you know, in the 80s or even the 90s, I didn't think twice about that scene other than, okay, which is, but now, like, I'm watching, I'm like, this is like I don't ever use this word. You know I don't like to use this word. That was an epic fucking scene for horror. Like, the whole thing, there's fire going on, and he's sweaty, he's playing the sax, and everybody's jamming out. And it's like
gyrating like 80s. Hell.
Like, you can't do that in any... there's not another era. Can you picture that ever working in any place that's not the 80s?
Not in spandex like that. He also had long hair, right?
He had long
hair. Was it a mullet?
Mmm. God. It could have been. I don't remember.
I feel like I need to watch that scene now.
I feel the same way. We're on definitely watch that scene after this. Let's see. I mean, Kiefer was... That was my first exposure to Kiefer. I was just like, holy shit, he's such a badass.
Yeah, that... Man. What came out first, that or Stand By Me?
God damn, I don't... I mean, because he basically played the same guy.
Yeah, he was a pretty big asshole in both of them.
Yeah, like... Well, they probably came within a year or two of each other, I would think.
Well, I mean... Like, for part of that movie, you don't know he's a vampire, and then you find out he is. But the scene where, is it like the flashlights are on him, and he looks up, and he's just all vamped out, and his eyes are crazy. Kiefer was always kind of a creepy-looking dude, but that scene...
That scene was...
Kind of Kiefer at his Kieferish.
Most I'll tell you Kieferish. What freaked me out most was the Chinese food part. Like, when they were trying to eat, and it, like, there were worms and maggots as opposed to rice and noodles because they were mind fucking.
Oh yeah, but it was just in his head though, right?
Right. Yeah.
Yeah.
And they had the two
corays. Right, the two corays that went on the vampire killing quest. Well, that was, I mean, when they stake the one on top of being really violent, and then they had to run for it. The rest of them coming after them, and that was pretty terrifying, just the idea of being chased like that.
And actually, as a kid, that was a really great twist. Like, actually, still to this day, for a vampire movie, that was a good twist.
The kids were the heroes?
No, that the head vampire was the dude that the mom was trying to bang.
Yeah, I don't think I remember... Like, that's one of the movies I just always knew of. There's some movies where you're like, I don't really remember the first time I watched it. I just always knew that movie. So I don't ever remember having that shock, although I'm assuming it happened the first time I watched it.
Yeah, probably. There's only certain things that you can remember. The first time you know who Kaiser Soze is.
Oh, well, I do remember that one.
Or first time you're like, you find out what's going on, who, oh god, Fight Club, what's his name, Tyler Durden, like, you finally figure out the whole Tyler Durden thing in Fight Club, and you're just like, the fuck?
Or, I mean, even, like, Saw, the guy stands up in the, like, some people got that ahead of time, but that blew my mind when that happened the first time I watched Saw.
I remember seeing that, and I bring in, like, my 50-some-year-old mom, and I'm like, oh, you gotta see this. Yeah, I showed my mom Saw. I have no shame in this whatsoever.
Did she enjoy it, at least?
She claimed to have, but...
she did. She did.
No. I highly doubt that. Gone with Vampires. You've seen Interview with the Vampire, right?
Yeah, again, a long time ago. I think I've only seen it all the way through once.
It was a cool, like, I like the fact that Tom Cruise was good in it, which, I'm just not a huge Tom Cruise fan, but that is one of the few movies I really liked him in. Brad Pitt was young at the time, he stood out, Antonio Banderas, the chick that played Mary Jane there.
The little blonde?
Kirsten Dunst.
She is such a baby in that movie.
She is, yeah. I think those were the... I may be missing, like, one other person, but, I mean, that was the gist of the brunt of the stars. But it was a really well-done film, I think.
Well, you can't really knock that cast too much.
Hell no. Have you ever seen John Carpenter's Vampires?
I don't think so.
You'll have to watch that sometime with me and Ron, because Ron loves that movie. Good drinking film. You'll dig it. Trying to think of other really good vampire from Dusk Till Dawn. Obviously,
oh, absolutely.
I that whole thing's just.
I love the creativity with some of the weapons they do in that, and The Salma Hayek's always a nice touch.
Oh my goodness. That was like, was that the first time you ever seen Salma?
I might have seen her in something before, but it's probably the first time I saw her topless.
My god damn, that was a good piece of business that day. And
very disappointed when she went vampire.
Absolutely. And can you think of a, like, for me, that's my favorite George Clooney role. You have a, like, because he was a badass. Like, I liked him in Ocean's 11, but in that, he, like, I don't know why he never did more badass roles, because he was awesome as a badass, I felt.
He definitely was that. I'm drawing a blank for other George Clooney roles right now.
So you don't watch chick flicks, is what you're telling me.
I wish that was completely true, but I guess George Clooney, girl flicks are not something I've partaken much in.
He did a movie called Up in the Air with Vera Farmiga, Thais's sister, that was actually a decent movie, and Intolerable Cruelty he did with Catherine Zeta-Jones, which was done by the Coen brothers, who did Big Lebowski, so that's the only reason why I watched that. But, yeah, by and large, Clooney kind of McConaughey'd the hell out of his career, which I can't blame him. When you're a dude that can get chicks like that, you go where the money is, right?
Well, yeah.
I mean, that's...
All right.
Why wouldn't he? Like, I know people got pissed off, like, at DiCaprio for, after Titanic, that he took some of these roles that were just for chicks. Well, yeah, of course you're gonna do that, wouldn't you?
I'm not sure I'd knock his career so much. I think
he had the resurrection.
Yeah, I guess so. But
there was about 5 years after Titanic where it wasn't that good. I don't think.
Well, for me, there was... My first experience with Leonardo was What's Eating Gilbert Grape, which I thought he was amazing in.
He was. Was that before or after Growing Pains? Do you remember?
I have no idea.
Mike Siever would be very disappointed.
But then, like, I don't even think I ever watched Titanic all the way through.
It's not a bad movie. Like, I'm kind of ashamed to sit here and say that. Like, while being recorded, saying Titanic's not a bad movie, but it's not a bad movie, and Billy Zane's fucking awesome. I don't know if you know who Billy Zane is.
Yeah, isn't he the other love interest?
Yeah, he's like her fiance. He's just a dick, so he's awesome. And Kathy Bates was in it.
I did not know that.
Yeah, she's
The butcher?
The butcher. No. No, she is not the butcher. She's Molly Brown or something like that. Because there's like the old saying, the unsinkable Molly Brown or something. I don't know. I'm probably butchering this, and like women are listening to this right now, like, get it fucking right, you asshole. Like, people hate me right now.
Butchering it.
You know what? Speaking of Kathy Bates, actually, have you seen Misery?
I have.
I think that's one of Stephen King's 5 best horror movies. Horror stories turned into a film.
Yeah. When I start thinking of Stephen King movies, there's a couple movies that aren't really horror that I think of first.
Shawshank, Green Mile, Stand By Me, did I cover them all?
Yeah, I think you got them.
Yeah.
They're always there. It's weird because Stephen King always is known for his thriller books, but for movies, those line up as some of my favorite movies ever. So when we talk about Stephen King in movies,
people forget that Stephen King can tell a great story and it doesn't have to be horror, and that's just proof of it.
There's also like a whole series of like lower budget movies from Stephen King that I enjoyed when on cable, like the Langoliers. I don't know if you ever saw that.
Ray Lean, for some reason, loved that fucking movie. So, like, every once in a while, we'd have to watch it. I'm like, god damn it. And eventually, I got to the point where it was a guilty pleasure. So, because it had Balky Bartaku moves in it.
Oh, Balky. Perfect Strangers reference is never a miss.
Millennials are just like, I don't get this. Fuck you guys. Stephen King, I mean, his 80s stuff, like, well, 70s stuff, Carrie. Have you seen Carrie?
Yes, I have seen Carrie. And my mom, speaking of, she worked at that theater way back when. She worked at the theater when Carrie came out. And her and all the other employees at the theater would always run in at the end of the movie just to watch everybody's reaction when the hand came out of the ground.
Oh, my
and
God, yeah.
And every time, popcorn flying everywhere. And again, you watch that today, it's so-so. But back then, that was a huge jump for people.
I remember the first time I saw it. I will flinch at jump scares because I'm just a flinchy guy. That doesn't mean you scared me. Doesn't mean I'm frightened in any way. But that one actually got like a legit reaction from me. The same as the end of Friday the 13th got a legit reaction from me. With Jason jumping out of the water. There was a couple other ones, but that one was really one of the best all-time scares, in my opinion.
It was kind of ruined for me. I was told ahead of time that it was going to happen because my mom wouldn't stop talking about it. I was maybe like 12 years old, and it was on TV. Oh, this is the movie where the hand comes out of the ground on the end. Okay, so I know how to prepare for that.
Now, you ever see something like Silver Bullet, Christine, Firestarter?
I have seen all three of those movies. Was a big fan of Firestarter as a kid.
Yeah, and her dad, not to be confused with Keith David, is named David Keith. And he's white, so it's always confusing to me.
That's
like, I always get the names.
That's not confusing at all.
Right. I see Christine was one of those movies as a kid that I just grew up with, and every time I'd go to my cousin's house, I would try to watch that because he had a copy of it and I didn't. And so I watched Christine probably 5-6 times one particular summer.
Yeah, I actually did not see that one as a kid. I saw it as a young adult and enjoyed it. But Silver Bullet, that was one that I saw as a kid. Scared me a bit.
Gary Busey, Corey Haim, yeah.
Gary Busey is terrifying.
Yes. Did you know he like won an Oscar?
For that movie?
No. He won an Oscar for some movie in the 70s, and I've always wanted to see it, just to see, like, serious Gary Busey. Like, he won an Oscar. So at some point in his career, he was a good actor. Now, that's not a rip on Gary Busey, because I really like watching him. He's entertaining, but I've never considered him an Oscar-type guy, right?
No. I mean, I've thoroughly enjoyed him in movies. He's an awesome bad guy in Under Siege. He's a pretty good bad guy in one of the Lethal Weapon movies. Is it the first one?
Oh. God damn it. I don't remember now. They're all a blur to me, to be perfectly honest. I'm a horrible human being.
I was just talking about Gary Busey with somebody because they would get Busey confused with Nick Nolte, who was another large blonde gentleman.
I mean, shit, can we throw in Dolph Lundgren just because that'd just be a... Can we have Gary Busey, Dolph Lundgren, and Nick Nolte just do a movie?
That would be... I could see that gang getting together.
I'd pay to watch it.
Have you seen anything new that Nick Nolte has done?
No, but there was something that I came across that looked like it was interesting for the life of me. I can't remember what it was, but go on with your thought process.
I don't know what he's done to himself, whether it was just some health issues or if he smokes or whatever, but his voice is, he's like on the verge of losing his voice or something. He has the most hoarse, choppy voice, but it's actually kind of cool sounding.
Is it worse than Tom Waits?
Yeah, because it like cracks in and out when he's talking, so he could never sing a song, or maybe he could, and it would actually sound awesome.
Maybe. You know, I'm going to get completely off topic here for a second.
No, we're not off topic at all.
Right. You know, who gives a fuck, right? So, I don't know if you saw this when I posted on Facebook, that I came across this song that Megan Mullally sang of Tom Waits. And do you know who she is?
I don't, but I think you played the song for me some weeks back.
Yeah, I've played it. She's Nick Offerman's wife. No Nick Offerman?
I do. I think he's hilarious.
She played in Will and Grace. She was the other chick that was not Grace.
The high-pitched voice?
Yes, and she's been on Bob's Burgers as Linda's sister. That's Megan Mullally. She's also...
Okay, I definitely know who she is.
Yeah.
If you, just from that, I did not know she was on Bob's Burgers.
So, to think about, like, she can sing. I was, like, blown away because I never picture her as being able to sing beautifully, as a matter of fact. I don't know, it just blew me away. Like, I'd liked this song for months now, and then I just kind of looked at the name. I was like, oh, this girl has the same name as Megan. Like, I still totally discounted that it was her until I looked it up.
So I'm kind of wondering, is the voice, the annoying high-pitched voice, you always, the role she always plays, like in Will and Grace?
You think it's
Is that not her real voice? Is that just something she plays up for the her character in the show?
I don't know. I've often wondered that with Bobcat Goldthwait.
You know, I've heard some stand-up of his, and although the whole, it's a little overdone in his roles, like in Police Academy, but he kind of talks like that.
No shit. I mean, he's one of the most distinctive sounding human beings. Like, he's there with Gilbert Gottfried. Like, I don't know. How many more people have a more distinct voice than those two guys? It's so weird to me. Like, think about that. James Earl Jones has one of those voices.
Yeah.
Why the hell hasn't James Earl Jones done horror? He has a perfect voice to be, like, a guy that does something cool.
Like a giant guy in a black cape and black mask?
That would never go over with the crowd. Ever.
Yeah, you're right. I don't know what I was thinking.
Nah, me neither. Let's see here. God damn. Tom, have you looked at how much time we've gone so far? This is impressive.
I have not. Where are we at?
We're at 51 minutes, and you said that you had about 3 minutes worth of material, so I'm pretty proud of this.
So we're just going to make it a solid hour at this point?
Yeah, may as well. So, for the last few minutes that we have going on here...
Can we bring it back to the horror? Because we are well outside the...
I mean... Can you name any other horror movies that off the top of your head that you've seen that you liked?
Oh. I should have done some prep work.
Doubt it. Have you seen Halloween?
Yeah, I've seen Halloween.
Did you like it?
No, it's not really my type of film. I didn't dislike it, and it's, you know, when you watch... I think horror is fun to watch with people. It's more about, you know...
Oh my god, yes.
Yeah, that's... Kind of where I get into it when you, especially take a girl to theater.
Raper, yeah. I mean, watch a movie with her.
Oh, boy.
God damn, I want popcorn right now. But, yeah, I don't know. I always say that that's fun. I think the original Halloween is so incredibly overrated. Yeah, I appreciate it. I like it. But people put that on a pedestal that's ridiculous to me.
Well, I think it's because it's part of that era, and so it's lumped in with the other ones that kind of reface the whole genre.
Have you ever seen Night of the Living Dead?
The original?
Yeah, the black and white George Romero one.
No, back when I worked at a video store, I had always walked through the horror and look at all the case covers, all the artwork, and that was one I still kind of remember what that one looks like, but I don't think I ever watched it.
Well, Tom, I have an idea for a night, because that's one of my all-time faves. Have you ever seen Monster Squad? I always love bringing up Monster Squad.
No, you have brought that up quite a few times, and I have not seen that.
It's the horror movie version of The Goonies, basically.
I do love The Goonies.
Right, like, and it only has one recognizable person, realistically, which is Jason Hervey, who was Kevin Arnold's older brother in The Wonder Years, and, yes, we are in our mid-30s.
The older brother that's such a dick to him?
Yep, I can't think of his name on the show. I mean, I know Kevin Arnold.
I can't either.
Yeah, it don't really matter. Let's see. How do you feel about these movies that, you know, I think before Hostel they existed, but, like, movies that kind of make every other country that's not America look like everybody's fucking evil. Like, you're going to get kidnapped if you go overseas, according to the horror genre nowadays. Have you seen any of these?
Well,
or Taken?
I've seen Taken.
Is Taken a horror movie in disguise?
No. I'd call that a revenge movie.
Absolutely. I agree with that.
I mean, there's been a lot of strife in Eastern Europe, so I feel like that area gets a bad rap. Really bad in a lot of these movies, but...
Well, it plays off of our fears of the unknown. And for us, anybody that's never traveled overseas or anything, that is the unknown. You're hearing a totally different language. And even if it's just a community of really nice people, it's still a little scary, obviously. It's a little overwhelming, I would think, to most people at the very least. Obviously, you won't see me going overseas because, I don't know, I just don't like to fucking fly because my fat ass don't fit in the plane seat very well.
Well, and there's also, I mean, civilization has been around a lot longer over there. So, I mean, except for Native Americans, which were over here, you have the whole aspect in Europe of, like, the whole ancient castles and very old world stuff that does have a certain creepiness about it.
And Wicker Man. Let's never forget Wicker Man.
But like a man made of wicker.
Yeah. There was a really good 70s movie with Christopher Lee, who you know from Lord of the Rings.
I do.
And then Nick Cage came along in sometime in the 2000s and made a horrendous version of it. But the original's really, really fucking solid. So I highly recommend that. I think there's so many movies. Hey, have you ever watched any of the old Universal monster movies like Dracula, Mummy, Wolfman, shit like that?
No, I don't think I've watched. I feel like I caught part of the Wolfman one time, but for the most part, I feel like they're not shown on cable. Like the originals. There's some obscure ones that followed them that are right. Shown, the old black and whites. But the original, like the original originals, I feel like maybe they're just too heavily like licensed or something. I don't know.
I'm willing to bet, though, that because, I don't know if you know this, Hollywood has gotten the great idea, let's remake them, right? So Tom Cruise is going to be the fucking mummy, I believe.
Are you joking?
I'm 100% serious. Tom Cruise, I think it's going to be, he's in The Mummy. He's in one of them, or Frank, he's in one of
them.
That's
got to be a joke.
I wish I was shitting you, but I am not shitting you.
Man. I mean, part of the fear of The Mummy was that it was like 7 feet tall, and Tom Cruise is like 4'9".
Yeah, so I think that when they start bringing those movies out, I think we're going to get to see the classics for free, like on TNT or, you know, shit like that. Have you ever seen any of the old Hitchcock, like Psycho, The Birds?
I've seen both of those movies. I liked The Birds when I was young. Just the idea, they're just everyday, what we see every day and are not terrified of at all, and then they turn on us in mass, and I found it more an interesting idea than a scary idea. I mean, again, you're talking old, so like when the lifeless seagull is swung into frame at her, I wasn't scared of it as much as the whole idea of birds turning on us suddenly. I was very intrigued by it.
I remember, I think it was 9th grade or 10th grade, whatever year we had Don Toscano for English class, we actually got to watch The Birds that year.
I believe I watched it in that class as well.
Yeah, great, great time, man. That was my first exposure to Hitchcock, and then I went until like 2008, until I saw another Hitchcock movie, which was Psycho. And then I was like, how the fuck have I gone my whole life never seeing this?
What other movies does he have out there?
Well, he has a North by Northwest.
I have not seen that, although I do remember the scene with the plane coming in. But I've never seen it. I've seen parts of his old show.
Oh, I love the song. The intro song is iconic.
Yeah, and then We're going to talk about that. We're going to talk about Twilight Zone.
Tom, we don't have enough
time. We really don't. That's we're 4 seconds and we're done.
Yeah, that's all right. Shit. I mean, the Hitchcock collection's actually right next to you. I just can't.
Oh, it's right there.
Yeah. Tom is legitimately sitting right next to the Alfred Hitchcock collection. I think Marnie's one of them, but how the fuck? Vertigo. Vertigo's one of the huge ones.
I have not seen that one either. I've heard of it, but I have not seen it.
I think there's like Murder on a Train or something. I don't know. I'm honestly, I'm not well versed in it, but I bought the collection so I could watch it this year. So
break that shit out.
Yeah, I plan on it. So as you guys know, we are at the hour mark. So I think we've kind of run the gamut with Tom's horror knowledge for right now. Now we're sitting here thinking about 80s cartoons and a half naked guy playing the saxophone.
I'm going to stick with Selma Hayek.
Oh my God. Selma Hayek.
Don't, stop.
No, like I actually download that song that she dances to.
It is a good scene.
Something about Tarantula. I don't know if the name of the band or if the name of the song. Something with Tarantula. So, yeah, I actually had the soundtrack. I don't know. I buy weird things.
Yeah, that's not really a movie that's known for its soundtrack, but I'll have to check that out.
Sure. All right. Tom, do you have any parting thoughts before I give the close?
No, not really. Just that, you know, it was pretty hard to get that 20 minutes in, so.
Yeah, I don't know if we're ever going to get squeezed out another 20 minutes or not, but anyways, it's been fun. I hope you guys have enjoyed mindless chit-chat about inane things for over an hour. So, once again, we hope that you've been entertained, and we will see you again some other time down the road.